This week we're going to break up. We're going to break up the concept of Tanur into three shiurim. The first shiur is going to be regarding to Oinur, but Oinur where there is no drora de memoina, which means that it's not a. There's no financial issues. It's simply you gave your word. What does it mean for a person? When do you have to keep your word? And not saying, it's interesting because this specific shiur, which we're going to discuss tonight, is going to go far beyond Chayshin Mishpat, and it's going to end up becoming personal, what you're allowed to do to people, where they can get insulted from what you said, you can be over on Oinur. Then we're going to continue the next shiur, Bezrat Hashem, is going to be Ona'ah, where it goes into a situation where through your Ona'ah, there's a certain commitment, a financial commitment, and your words is hurting another person financially. And then the third shiur, which we're going to do, which follows in this topic, is Ganev Adas, right? When you're allowed to steal, when this, again, none of these three shiurim is going to be financial. This shiur is going to end up being not being financial at all. Let's take a look where the Pasuk discusses these issues. I mean, in Sefer Vayikra, Perek Chav Hei, I'll tell you a first quote for you what the Pasuk says. The Gemara we're going to learn tonight is going to be above a Metziah. Nun Ches Amud Beis. That's where the Mishnah is. But I want to, before I say the Mishnah, I would like to read to you what it says in the Torah. Okay, Vayikra Chav Hei. So take a above a Metziah first. Okay. The Pasuk in Parshas Bahar tells us, V'chi simkeru mimkor la'amisecha, oy kanoi miyad amisecha, al toinu ish es ochiv. Right? Al toinu ish es ochiv. Which means, a person shouldn't, in little terms, don't rip off your friend. Right? Al toinu ish es ochiv. Don't rip off your friend. And we're going to have to spend a tremendous amount of time whenever you do a business deal. Is something called Oinur. It depends by how much you ripped them off, right? More than a six, less than a six, exactly a six. That's a full discussion of its own, which we're going to set aside. And Rashi says, Al Toinu Zu Oinur's Mamon. That's when you rip them off financially. Now, the Pasuk continues in Pasuk Yud Zayin, Veloy Soinu Ish Es Amito, the Yeresa Me Elikecha. Don't do Oinur to your friend, and you should fear Hashem. So Rashi asks, what is this Oinur talking about? We already said that you're not allowed to do Oinur. So Rashi said, Ze Oinur's Dvorim. This is referring to Oinur, but it's Oinur with your speech. Now, what is the case of Oinur with your speech? So take a look at the Mishnah. Nun Ches Amud Beis. The Mishnah tells us, and I took out, I found one copy of the Ben Yoyada downstairs, but you know, whenever you're doing a Gemara which brings in some Agadata, right, there's a few select svarim written on Agadata. I mean, you have the Mashah, Chadishah Agadais. You have, besides the Mashah, you have the Tzlach, which is written by Noyv Yehuda. And one of the svarim, which is one of the most phenomenal svarim written on Agadata, is the Ben Yoyada. I mean, you see his Koyach Padrush, right, the Ben Ishchai, is unreal. Every the Ramazim that he has. So we'll take a look soon. We'll see how he learns part of this Gemara. So the Mishnah says, just like there's a concept of Oinur by business, kach Oinur b'dvarim, right? Similarly, with your words, you can be over on Oinur. What's the case the Mishnah brings? By the way, this is a very, very classic case.
Just looking.
You intend to buy something on the internet, right? That's where you can get the best deal. But when you're going to buy the camera on the internet, you have no idea how to use it. So what do? First you go into B&H Photo. You have a salesman spend a couple of hours with you and he explains to you exactly how you use this camera, right? And then what do? Then you go home and for 50% off you have a certain coupon, a certain code, and you can buy it for half the price, right? I shouldn't say it about B&H. They advertise they have a better price than anybody else. I shouldn't say that. But the point I'm trying to tell you is he clearly have a case where there will be Oinur, because with your words you are misleading the person through your words. Now I'm going to stop a second and tell you that this Oinur is clearly Oinur b'mekach imemka. It's not stealing, it's ripping somebody off through Oinur, through your words, but on the other hand, it's a financial setback for the other person. So now the Mishnah continues and the Mishnah tells us about a case which is Oinur But this I know already is talking.
This is on Ad Devarim.
It's on Ad Devarim, but like the later Achoinim, you know, the Lomdash Achoinim discuss, but has a Drara de Mamoina, right? It has a Tzad Kesef, which means the discussion, it's on Ad Devarim, you're right, but it has a financial, the bottom line will translate into a certain loss of money. The Mishnah is going to continue now to tell us a case where the bottom line doesn't even translate into any loss of money. That's why, remember, we learned in the
Chumash Tup Sukkim.
What's that?
On the buyer?
This Isur is on the buyer, sure. Well, it could be on the seller too. I mean, when I see all the halachas of, I know, when you sell something for too expensive, or you can mislead somebody.
Mislead somebody in what the item is.
It can happen in any way. It can be the buyer or the seller. I mean, there's going to be one of the classic cases of, I know, is when you send a person to do business somewhere where you know he clearly will not get any business. I had a person recently who told me he was, I was standing, amongst two people, and one of them was in the jewelry business for about 30 years, and the other one just got into the jewelry business a couple of years ago, and he happens to buy his better items in Italy. You know, the cheap items he ends up going to Hong Kong to buy the capis, and the expensive, more select jewelry he buys in Italy. So I saw, in front of me, one of them approached the other fellow, and he said to him, "Tell me, by the way, where did you buy, I'm going to Italy, tell me of a few good suppliers." He says, "Sure, with biggest pleasure," and he gave him a few names of a few suppliers. So I said to him afterwards, "You're a tzaddik, you go and you give away your suppliers just like that." He says, "What are you talking about?" He says, "My suppliers that I use, I would never give away. I'm giving away the guys who I would never go close to." No, it's like they say, a bitter gelechta, That's clearly a case of einos devarim, right? That's exactly what you're doing. With your words, you're telling a person to go do business with people that you would never consider doing business with them, right? That's the person that gives him an eitzah she'eni hagenes l'fi halikeh, right? That's what's, this is the classic case that's brought down. Over love in the Torah, if a person does something of this sort. Now, the Mishnah continues now to a case where there is no drawer de mamoina. What's that case? You don't say to him, Zachor masecha harishonim, remember what you used to do, right? Imhu ben gerim, if the person is a ben gerim, you don't say to him, Zachor masei avesecha, remember what your father used to do. Shenema v'ger lo yisoyne v'lo yisilcha tzeni, right? And the Rambam points out that any person that's over on Einoah is also over on the pasuk of v'ger lo yisoyne, right? But the Torah speaks behoveh, right? The hoveh is that usually people start up with a ger. Usually people, you don't pick on people your own size. The ger, right? The ger and the almana, they're easy bait to start up with them. So now the Gemara tells us what we mentioned from Rashi already. Tani Rabbanan, lo yisoynu ishe samisoy, be ona'at dvarim ha-katuv medaber. Atoyme be ona'at dvarim ma'ena elo be ona'at mamon, right? Kishi yoyme v'chi timkeru mimkar la'misecha oi kanoi miyad misecha, harei ona'at mamon amur. Amani mekayim lo yisoynu ishe samisoy, right? Be ona'at dvarim. So we have both. You're not allowed to do ona'ah which translates into money, and you can't do ona'ah which translates into devarim. Okay, Tzad, what's that case? Im hoye balchuva, person is a balchuva, right? Al yoimelo, you don't say to him, Zachor masecha rishonim, do you remember what you used to do? Im hoye ben gerim, person is a ben gerim. Any words that hurt another person is an avera of ona'ah. If a person is a ben gerim, al yoimelo, you don't say, Zachor, don't you remember masei avesecha, what your parents used to do, right? Let's say a person is a ger. Yivolim otoyri, he comes to learn Torah. What do you say to him? You don't say, pair the mouth, she'achal that eats, nevelot, trefot, shkatsim, v'ramasim, right? You remember you used to eat all that junk? You used to eat at McDonald's? And you want to learn, right? Torah, bo lilmoit, he's going to come and learn Torah, she'nema mipi ha'gura, which is given to us by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. How could you even consider learning Torah? Now the Mashah on this Gemara points out that the analogy is an interesting analogy. I mean, he's trying to say to him that the mouth that ate, right, that ate not kosher, shouldn't be able to learn Torah. He could have said to him that the mouth that spoke, right, improper improper things, shouldn't be able to speak Torah. Why does he specifically give the example of the mouth that ate food which was improper food? So the Mashal brings down the very famous concept which is brought down four times in Shas, and that is that there is a special shmirah for a person that is a tzaddik, that he never eats anything which is improper, right? Like the Gemara says in Gittin Daf Zayin, right? The Tosfos there has a whole discussion if on Yom Kippur they were able to eat something which was, right? There's really Timtum Halev. I mean, it's interesting. There's a very interesting Pesach Teshuva which people don't really know about. There are times where a person is allowed to take non-kosher foods if he takes it as a medication, right? Right, because there's a very famous discussion when a person eats food which is as taken as a medication. So then, many poskim say that in that situation he's allowed to take it. Why? Because since it comes in the form of a pill, once it's in the form of a pill, it's nifsil from achila. Right, it's not possible to eat, and since it's nifsil from eating, you're allowed to go and you're allowed to take that medication because it's not food, so it's no problem. Right? A vitamin is much more stringent. Why is a vitamin much more stringent? Because a vitamin you're taking as a food supplement. So once you're taking it as a food supplement, so it's achshavei, right? You want it to be considered like a food. The truth is that the poskim, they analyze every case individually, because sometimes people take vitamins and they take vitamins as a food, right? When is that you take vitamins as a food, right? When you're taking it as a food supplement. But sometimes you have a person who has a terrible cold, so he takes loads of vitamin C in order to knock out the cold. So he's truthfully taking those vitamins as medication. So the truth is you have to really analyze, you know, each case individually. They once asked Rav Moshe Feinstein if you're allowed to take vitamins on Shabbos or not. So Rav Moshe had a very interesting analogy. He said, if you're allowed to take it on Shabbos, right? If you're allowed to take it on Shabbos, then you have to make sure it's kosher. But if you're not allowed to take it on Shabbos, then you can take it if it's not kosher, right? What was the analogy? Because on Shabbos, you can't eat medication, right? Why? Shini Yedches, Shchikat Samamanim, right? That's the, all right? So if the situation is that you consider it a medication, so then if that's the case, it's not actually, so it's not a food, so then you can't take it on Shabbat. But if it's the other way, where you could take it on Shabbat, so then that proves automatically that it's not a food, right? And if it's not a food, if you could take it on Shabbat, then it's a food. If you could take it as a food, then it has to be kosher, right? That's the very very famous discussion. I just want to point out that the Pesach Teshuva in Yerideh has a discussion, and it's a machloket poskim, if in a case, even if you're allowed to take that food, it could be matam from the leif. So it's not so simple, right? I mean, it's 100%. And the truth is there are many medications which are not kosher, and they're proven medications, like it's brought down the poskim has to be. Like, for example, there's the people who have problems with their knees, right? And this cartilage that gets eaten out through their knees, right? So they take chondroitin, right? What does chondroitin come from? Chondroitin comes from the fat of a shark. That's what it is. Totally not kosher. That's what it is. But on the other hand, you're allowed to take it because it literally rebuilds the cartilage. I mean, it's a wonder drug, what it actually can do for a person. But it's just, and according to halakha, definitely a person's allowed to take it if he has no other choice, right? He can't take it in a vegetable form, which usually doesn't work nearly as well. So, but on the other hand, that's the point. The reason why the Mashal points out, the reason why specifically he's discussing the concept of the eating not kosher, because the eating not kosher is specifically detrimental to a person going and being able to learn Torah. So the Gemara has a whole page where we establish that you cannot do ona'ah, regardless if it's speaking about where the person gets hurt financially, regardless if it's just your word and you're hurting the person, you can't do either one. Okay, now take a skip down to the first of the wide lines. Take a look. Imhoya chamorim evakshin tua. Let's say the chamorim are looking for tua. The truckers are looking to transport. Loyom lehem lechiyet zaplani shomecha tua. Go to this guy who, right, that case I told you about the jewelry from Italy. This is exactly that case. V'yedei by shalemocha mayoylam. He's a person that doesn't sell, he doesn't transport, right? Right? This you see. I mean, a few women told us to me. What is a woman by me recently? who, you know, she has her own issues that she's dealing with, obviously. So she told me an interesting story about herself. She said to me that she likes to go out with her friends to Manhattan, and she likes to act like one of the rich and famous. I mean, this is the problem that she has, this person. So whatever, I mean, all her other issues we won't even go into. So she said to me that what she does is, she goes on Madison Avenue, and she goes to these boutiques where the dresses and outfits are $4,000 or $5,000, and she goes in, she tries them on, she tries on the jewelry, this and that, and then she says, okay, I'll come back with my chauffeur, I'll think about it, or something of that sort. No? So take a look what she did here. She went, and I mean, and the truth is, it's not really much different than the case we discussed, where a person that intends to buy something online, and he goes into a store, and he drives them nuts in order to show them everything. I mean, these cases are clearly not...
If it's from a goy, you're allowed?
If it's from a goy, are you allowed to do it or not? It's a very interesting question. It's interesting because Onor itself, we're going to see, you're allowed to do from a goy. We'll discuss that in Shulchan Aruch soon. Onor itself, you're allowed to do from goy. But it's interesting that there's a sma that brings down that Gneivas Das, you can't do from a goy. So we're going to have to go a little further. What's that? Chil Hashem, that I'm not discussing. That, of course, is not allowed, right? If it's a true Chil Hashem, there's no question. But maybe some people are good actors, and you don't know. I don't know if every person, you know, it lav dafka. I mean, it's interesting. We'll have to go through, and after we go through the topic and we define what is Einor, what is Gneivas Das, then we'll rediscuss what you could do with a goy and what you can't do with a goy. Okay, so let's give that a bit more time. Now, what's worse? To do Einor, where you're stealing from the person, or to do Einor, where you're just insulting the person, hurting the person.
Insulting
is worse. Why?
Can't give it back.
So what's going on here? They were sending him to a place that really doesn't do anything.
Yeah, he just similar to that case. Yeah, he says to him, he's trying to make himself sound good, and he says, "Go to this and this person," but that's not really the intention. The true intention is that this person does not do a lot of business. You understand? You do that. If a person is pushing you for business, so you send him to a certain person, but this person is not going to give him anything. So that's the classic case of Einor. So we establish right there's two types of Einor. There's Einor when the person is going to lose money, and there's Einor when the person is not going to lose money, right? So now the Gemara says, which is worse? So exactly what you just said. The worst one clearly is Einor when there's no Dror Dimim Einor. And for what reason? So the Gemara says, skip down a few lines, it's worse to rip somebody off with you and paint somebody with your words than to paint him when he's going to lose money. Why? Okay, the simple pshat Rashi says is because only Hashem knows of what your true intentions are, because it's only b'machshava. Here you're hurting him. Here you're hurting him with his goof, and here you're hurting him with his money. Exactly what you said. One you can return, one you can't return. Okay, then there's the famous Gemara here of Machan Hashem Chaveiroi, Ma'am Pnei Chaveiroi Barab. That's the next very famous sugi here in Bava Metzia. Now, I just want to read to you one Gemara, which this Gemara, I learned this Gemara, and I saw one pshat, and another pshat, and another pshat. I wasn't happy with any pshat until I saw that Ben Yehuda writes something which is beautiful. I showed you. Take a look at the bottom line in the Amid. Omar Rabba Bar Bachona Omar Rabbi Yochanan. Going on to Nun Tes Amad Aleph. Noyach Loi LaOdam. A person is better off. Sheyavoi Al Sofik Eishes Ish. That person should be over an Aveira with a Sofik Eishes Ish. Vayavim Pnei Chavei Barab. Rather than insulting another person, right? Remember, how we're going already into Malbim Pnei Chavei Barabim, because we're moving from the different categories. The first pasuk, which is Ona'a, which is Mamon. Then we went to Ona'a, which is Dvarim, right? Those are the two levels. Therefore, if we're talking already about putting another person through Tsar, from there we move into Malbim Pnei Chaveiro. So, but look at this interesting Gemara. The Gemara says, you're better off being over an Aveira with a Safek Eshes Ish, then to be Malbim Pnei Chaveiro Barabim. Now this line is a very ambiguous line, and you're really going to have to work hard to figure out what it means. How about if it's a Vadi Eishes Ish? Then not, right? So Vadi Eishes Ish, it's okay. Not a Vadi Eishes Ish, it's not okay. I mean, then it is okay. What's going on over here? And furthermore, if you think about it, I mean, why are we comparing these two. So the Gemara goes into a whole discussion that David HaMelech said to Hashem that anyone that accuses me of any wrongdoing shouldn't be embarrassing me. They're not going to have a chek l'olam haba. But I that had a story with Bathsheba, I will be able to go to l'olam haba, which is a very, very difficult pshat to actually understand. But I want to read to you, I only have one copy of it. The Ben Yehuda here says something which is fascinating, and it's a beautiful Musa Haskell. And I'll tell you after the Ben Yehuda a beautiful story, and all this is as an introduction to the concept of Oino. There is a beautiful, here we go, here's a beautiful story that happened with this Teichemet. He says here as follows. Okay, where is that? Oh, Daf Nun Tes, in the Ben Yehuda, Bava Matziah Perik Dalet. Noichel Odom Sheyavei Al Sofik Eishes Ish, Vayabim Pnei Chavei Berabim. Okay, so now the Benish Chai says, Ein kavanosei loymoy. Of course, he doesn't intend to say sheyas zeh ha'oven shall suffic eishes ish. Of course, I mean that's not what he. Clearly, not what the Gemara meant. It's page ayin dalad on the left side. So it's the page before page ayin dalad in Bava Matziah. You see it? Go to the right. To the right. Daf Nun Tes. This next column. We have. No, you have a different printing. Oh, one second. Yeah, that's it. Dafnun Tes. You see it? Dafnun Tes. He says, Noyechle l'odom sheyava savigish. He says, of course it doesn't mean that a person should do that. V'ayasa avon zed avov espadazel in Italy, Omar. It goes without saying that the Gemara was never suggesting that a person should be over in avera with a safek eshes ish. Ach, kavanosu sheyei nechshad bedova zeh v'ayalm pechavei v'rab. Listen to this Gemara. A person is better off if they're accusing a person of doing a safek eshes ish. It's a fascinating Ben Ishchai. In other words, if they're saying that he clearly did it, or people know he clearly did it, that's not what he means to say. I take that back. What he means to say is that somebody's accusing a person of doing an isur of eshes ish. The person knows that he didn't do it. But out in the public realm, right, what do people think? That he might have done it. Nobody can know that he actually did it, because how can anybody really know that? But people are accusing him. So, to the eyes of the world, there is a safek of an eshes ish. That's the case that there is. So, kedei lahatzmol atzmol min hachashad hazeh. In order to save himself, what does he have to do? He has to go, and he has to expose the perpetrator who's spreading the rumors about him, and he's doing all these terrible things to him. What's going to happen if he does that? There's going to be malchum pnei chaverim v'ra'am. So he says, "Shehu nechshet bedava zeh shoyim shevel sofik eishes v'yuchel levar hadava." He can truthfully clear his name. Menakot atzmo menachashat, ach leyuchel levar hadava lacks atzmo. The only way to go and to clean your name is by going and insulting the other person. Elam ken yalbim pnei chaver b'rabim sheigalam ihu zeh. You're gonna have to publicize who is the person that spread the rumor to everybody what you did. What happened exactly? In this case it says, rather have people accuse you of fascinating Ben Yoyod. And he says, Miu, however. Huh? Like Tamar, right? Sotkemimena. No, they're accusing you that people have a safek that maybe you did it.
So it's not a safek in the institution, it's a safek in him.
It's a safek, the accusation is a safek. No, it's a rumor. It's a rumor. He says, but let's say the rumor is that he definitely did it. He says, continues, Miu nechshet shabal v'badei eshes ish. No, if the safek is that the person that he had the isur with was a safek eshes ish.
What's a safek eshes ish?
Oh, like the case of David and Bathsheba there, where he went to war. He might have been a gift, because whoever went to war, they gave a gift, it was a safek, it wasn't clear. He says, but let's say it's a case where it's a vadei eshes ish, okay? Okay, so it's just a fascinating pshat that the Ben Ishchai came up with in order to answer the Gemara. Now, one of the reasons why I found this pshat so fascinating is there's a very famous story they say over with this Teichemet. You know the story of the Stechemet is. Who knows that story? The Stechemet story? It's one of the most beautiful stories I've ever heard. The Stechemet, anybody that's read any of his Sforum, you're shocked as you read his Sforum, because the Stechemet was an encyclopedia. Now, for today, for people to write those type of Sforum is no big deal, because they simply sit by a computer, they do a search, right, and within a few minutes they have this program and that program, they have the Bar Ilan disk, and they have the other disk that exists, and they can have all the Sforum in front of them in a few minutes. Not such a big deal today. The Stechemet went and wrote this style sefer before computers existed, I mean, which is unreal. And he was a brilliant, brilliant person. The Stechemet at the end of his life was in Yerushalayim, and when he was in Yerushalayim, he had a certain person that was his mishamesh. He was a rebbe in Meshurim. He was a very famous person, this rebbe, but he was there quite often. He one time walked into the Stechemet, and he saw the Stechemet was deep in thought, and he just stood there at the door. He didn't actually walk in. And after about 5 minutes, he went and he saw the Stechemet was, coming out of his thoughts, and suddenly a big smile came onto his face. So the Stechemet looked at his Meshamesh, and he said to him, you know what? He says, give you a penny for your thoughts. He said to him, because you waited so patiently, this whole time, you didn't disturb me, I'll tell you what was going through my mind in this whole discussion. He said to him an unreal story. When the Stechemet was young, he lived in a certain city. In this city, there was a very wealthy man, and the wealthy man realized who the Stechemet was. He realized that he was a Talmid Chacham, that he was a very special man, and he said to everybody, he says, listen, he's mine. And he would support him, livestock and barrel, he would give him everything he needed. He would eat in the house of this wealthy man. The wealthy man made sure he had everything, and he had the ability to learn. Allah Torah v'Alavoydu was absolutely no disturbances and no concern about his panasa. One day, there was another person in the community who was also in that same kollel where he was learning, and he became extremely jealous. And he said, he saw how the wealthy man gives everything to the Stechemet, and he'll do absolutely anything for him. And he got very, very jealous, and he decided, you know what, it's payback time. I'm going to fix this young man once and for all, the Stechemet and this wealthy man, and none of this is going to happen anymore. What did he do? He went to the woman that used to, a non-Jewish woman, that she was the maid, and she was the one cleaning the house of this wealthy man, and he paid her a couple of dollars. And he said to her, I would like that you should come out one day into the street screaming, like a Maisei, Petifa, right? Do that same story, like a Petifa story. Come out screaming in the street, what this young man did to me. Come into the Besmedrish, make a big racket, and scream and scream and scream. And for that, I'll pay you handsomely. She went, she accepted the money from him. And a few days later, this Stechemet went to eat lunch in the house of the wealthy man. She came out into the street screaming about this terrible deed that the Stechemet did to her. She ran to the Beis Medrash and she was screaming. And as soon as she finishes in the Beit Midrash screaming about what actually transpired over here, this man who orchestrated this whole scene went behind her and he started to scream. He says, did you realize who is living in our midst? What kind of terrible person this is? And he comes to the Beit Midrash and he acts like a Talmud Chacham, that he's going to learn and he's going to pray and there's something special about him and we should throw him out. And he really, really, there was a tremendous, tremendous commotion going on. The wealthy man was in his business. He heard what was going on. He came running over to the Beit Midrash and he went and he stood at the center of the Beit Midrash and he steered at the Stechemet as this commotion was going on. The Stechemet kept his eyes in the Gemara. He was learning like nothing ever happened. He was unfazed. And the wealthy man got very upset. He went up to the front of the Beit Midrash and he started to scream. He says, I realize the story is not correct. And any person in this community that will say another word about this young man, I will personally throw him out of this community. And not another word should be mentioned. And this topic is closed. Right? The people in the community were not quite convinced, and let's call it, it was Noyach Liyodam, let's call it the Safek Eshesish, not the Safek that we discussed, but they had a Safek, they thought that the Stechemet actually was over in the Savera, and the Stechemet went, everything went sort of back to normal. A couple of weeks later, and I missed one point of the story, the wealthy man fired this maid. He says, you can't work by me anymore. And he fired me, let her go. A couple of weeks later, the Stechemer is walking out. And as the Stechemer is walking out of his home, who walks to the door? This maid who, you know, spread this libel about him, she walks up to the Stechemer and says, listen, I'll tell you the truth. This person is the one that instigated it. This person did this story to me, and he paid me for it, and I thought it would be worthwhile because I'd make a couple of dollars. In the meantime, what actually happened was I lost my job. The money he gave me is done. So what do I have from the whole story? I have nothing from it. So listen, as far as I'm concerned, I'll come back with you to the Beit Midrash. I'll get up. I'll announce who actually told me to do this, because I had nothing to gain. I just needed a few dollars, and now I have no job. So do me a favor, let's go clear this up, and everything will be done. So the Sechemet for a few seconds was thrilled. Baruch Hashem, he's going to clear his name now, this terrible libel that was spread against him. Then he said to himself, he says, as far as Kadosh Baruch Hu is concerned, what would Hashem rather have? Would he rather have that people should think that I might have done the wrong thing? People were not convinced, but people did accuse him. Or would Hashem have a greater hana'ah if the world found out that another person in the Kolel, another Ben Torah, had the ability to do such an evil deed to undermine his friend? Which will be a greater chilul Hashem? The fact that people slightly accuse me, that will definitely be a lesser chilul Hashem than if the community would know that this type of deed can actually happen. And as soon as the Stechemet realized this situation, the Stechemet said to her, you know what, I don't want you to tell anybody about it. He walked with her to the other end of the town, to another wealthy man. He says, do me a favor, can you hire this woman? This woman was very happy to get a job, and the story went away. So the Stechemet said that when he walked away from this situation, he felt like his head, the Stechemet said this on himself, his head was opened, and he was given a gift from Hashem of a tremendous amount of Torah. And he says from that point on in his life, whatever he tried to learn, his head absorbed. And it's sort of like he got a matana from Hashem, the whole Torah. But why? Only because he was concerned of one thing, this inyan, right? Mutiv la'odam, right? Literally, I mean, you think of this story, the way the Ben Ishchai explains it, and you think of the story with the Stechemet, it literally goes hand in hand. And I just want to add a few things, because we're going now far into the Agadah, and I want to start to move into the halacha of our discussion. I mean, we continue to read the sugya. There are a few frightening lines, I mean, in the sugya. I mean, the Gemara at the end tells us, the Gemara tells us that a person, that kol hasharim ninalu, right? All the sharim are closed, right? We know that all the sharim of tefillah are closed after the Chorban Beis Hamikdash, except for the shari dema'ot, right? That's what the Gemara tells us here. But the Gemara says that there's one shar that's still open, and that's the shar ona'ah. And that is that if you ma'al another person, you put another person through pain and through tzar, that Hashem, right, still listens, and Hashem repays immediately. That's what the Gemara tells us. And the Gemara at the end tells us that a person should be very careful be'ona'at ishto, right? With your wife's ona'at, not to say something to her negative. Because the Gemara says, mitoich shedim osan mitzien, piranosan mitzien. Since they're quick to tears, right? And the shari dima'ot are not closed. Anybody wants to see al pisoy, the very, very beautiful ben yoyoda, which I don't have the time to go into, why exactly the tears have a greater koyach than any other tefillah. There's a beautiful shtickle over here. But in any event, and the Gemara at the end concludes, you should be so careful to give kavod to your wife. The Gemara says that if you're going to go and you're going to be mechabed your wife, you're going to end up becoming rich. Right? It's a very worthwhile investment to give the proper kavod to a wife. What do you say? You want to mention something? Huh? Yeah.
No, there's a Gemara that says the person, somebody's punished
because
of you.
Mm-hmm.
You're complaining about
some.
So
you're
right?
Yeah, of
course. So
he can't
be in
the. Right? Right?
Mm-hmm. So why would you know your Hashem's protecting you in a way, but in another way you're getting walloped that you can't be in the Shekhinah Shel Hashem?
What do you mean? If you forgive him totally, you won't get punished. If you forgive it, you mean the story with Stechemet?
No,
the
Shari Ona'ah,
right.
Hashem will punish the person who caused Ona'ah.
If you cry, if a person gets hurt.
Protecting you. He's standing by his side. Now, but there's another Gemara that says if a person is punished because of you,
right,
you can't be Mechitzato Shel Kadosh Baruch Hu.
Right.
So what good is it?
Oh, what good is it? No, as it's happening, look, I guess if you're a very great person and you decide to be above it and not get hurt, the person will probably not get punished. See, the point of the Ana'a is why the person gets punished immediately, because you put a person through such tsar that actually happens, right? We used to say a famous story of Chaim Brisky. He once had a geneva, so he ran after the ganav to tell him, listen, if a person could be above this, you're right. But the fact is that most people are human, and most people, when you honor them, they get hurt, and it bothers them, right? So once that's the situation, so there's really nothing you can do. Now, I would like to discuss in this shiur specifically, Be'ezrat Hashem, next shiur we'll discuss the ona'ah that has a dror de memoina, which has a great financial loss. But in this shiur, I want to take a few minutes just to bring quite a few examples, you know, of cases which apply. It's very, very necessary to apply these cases. There is a ona'ah where there is no dror de memoina. The Rambam and Sefer Mitzvahs points out, based on this Mishnah and the Gemara, that if you do something to put another person through pain, to hurt another person, even if you don't say a word, there's an Isur of Ona'a. It's fascinating, right? You see how, what's the concept of Ona'a? Ona'at Devarim. That you're putting a person through a situation where you're putting him through tsar. Let's say you're a tsar person, and we said, even when it's not an issue of Mamon, so you're going to be aware on the concept of Ona'a. But something you have to be very, very careful with. That's the point that the Rambam brings it down in Sefer HaMitzvot. The Shulchan Aruch HaRav, who's the Baal HaTanya, gives the first example. He says, if you curse another person in his face, he says, besides the Issa of Mekalel Chaviro, there's going to be another Isur, and that will be Ona'at Tvarim. If you go over to a person and curse him in his face. The Masham brings down Chelik Beis and Simon Reish Yud, that any time you're mitzar another person, even if you don't say anything, so that you will also have the Isur of Ona'at Tvarim. So let's try to go a step further and give quite a few examples. Let's go with the first case. We all notice a concept called Gezel Shina, right? Stealing a person's sleep, right? Now, the truth is the word gezel might not really be applicable because it's a little bit hard to steal something which is intangible, which doesn't exist. But let's talk about the concept of gezel shina. There's a beautiful tshuva written in the Sefer Keren L'David. It's Nar Chaim Simon Yud Ches. He has an interesting discussion. If the concept of gezel shina is midaraisa, or is it midarabona? All right, I mean, he has a very interesting discussion. He has a tremendous nafkamina. The famous question they have is there a chiyuv to wake another person to be mafreshim from an isur? For example, let's see a person who is sleeping. And you know he's going to sleep and he's going to miss Kriya Shema, right? So what do? So do you wake him up in order to learn Kriya Shema or not? That's one very, very famous question. The Pesachei Tshuva in Hilchas Tumah, but a Kohanim discusses the very famous question. If you see a Kohen that's sleeping and somebody dies, do you have a chiv to wake him up that he shouldn't be in the Oil HaMeis, right? See, the true question is, how do you understand it? When a person is sleeping, is he in a situation where he has a chiv and mitzvahs, or does the chiv and mitzvahs first happen when he wakes up? So while he's sleeping, there is no Isur. Fine. So that is all a very nice theoretical discussion of what you do in those specific situations, and we can be marach, but this is not the appropriate shiur for that. But let's talk about the case when you clearly wake a person up, and you clearly have no right to do it. A person makes noise in the middle of the night, and I'm going to take for the next few discussions, I'm going to go away a little of the poskim that we usually use, and I'll mention what the tshuvot that are written on this topic in Eretz Yisrael, because the truth is, if you go, anybody that goes there, they live much closer to each other and much right in buildings and apartments. The quarters are much more cramped, and you see a lot of these questions are much more prevalent here. For a person from one house to wake up another person is not as common. It could happen, but it's not as common. But let's say a person goes and he makes a rash in his house late at night and he keeps people up. So he's over on the Isur of Gezel Shina, right? So let's say a person lives in an apartment building and he wants to move beds. So can you move the beds at 11, 12 o'clock at night? Of course not. You want to move furniture, you can't do it at that time at night. It's interesting that the poskim in Eretz Yisrael even discuss if you're allowed to do laundry in an apartment late at night. Right? Are you allowed to do that or not? And they say that if it becomes at a very late hour, of course a person should not be doing that. Now, what's fascinating is that there are many tshuvot written in Eretz Yisrael, if you're allowed to make a party in your house with music late at night. Right? Imagine there's a party. It's happened to everybody here at some point or another where somebody makes a party on their block or a few houses away from them. Let's say it's Purim, or let's say they have a personal, simcha, whatever the case may be. Right? And they have a party. What happens? So there's suddenly music, 11, 12 o'clock at night. No, are you allowed to do that or not? What would you say? Right? Probably nobody even thinks about it before.
Not.
Huh?
No, you're not.
You're not? So why are people doing it? Huh?
People do it after a certain hour.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so it's interesting. I don't know what the noise pollution laws in New York are, but right, I saw that it's a shoulder right to 11. It's legal. It's legal. Okay, fine. Now, how about an interesting question? Yeah, by 11, that's the deal. You have to shut it down. How about if it's a misibah shel mitzvah? I don't know. I'll ask you a better question. How about if you have a situation when this in Eretz Yisrael, you see it all the time. You have a house, right? And a big building, a whole bunch of apartments, and one floor is a yeshiva. So a guy gets into the right mood, 11, 12 o'clock at night, suddenly wants to learn, right? And he's learning with a brand, with a kol Torah, right? So you're allowed to learn on a koil at night. If you need, in order to learn, you need to learn on a koil. Can you learn late at night on a koil?
Absolutely.
Absolutely not. No. Let's go slow. In theory, you're 100% right. You shouldn't be allowed to do it because it's Gezel Shina. Right? It's Gezel Shina. And Gezel Shina clearly will go into the category of right? Because the Rambam says it's not just if there's Dvarim, but if you do an action that's Mitzar your friend, it's no greater Tzar than being Mitzari, your friend. They say one of the great Rebbes, he would never wake another person up. Even if you asked him to wake you up, he wouldn't wake you up. So they asked him why. He says, listen, he says, even if you ask me to wake you up, the first second that I wake you up, before you realize why I woke you up, you say, hey, what does this person want from me, right? You get upset for the first few seconds. He says, for those few seconds, I won't wake another person up. But there's no question that to keep another person up is a tzar and should not be allowed. Question is that when people in a community buy an apartment or a house, there's a certain sova vekibel for the regular needs that people in the community actually have. And for that, you're allowed to do, right? So the poskim write that let's say you have a situation that it's acceptable that lizmanim miyuchadim people can make a simcha. Not a regular situation, but people do once in a while have a situation where they make a simcha. So then you can argue that in those situations you could make a simcha.
Maybe if someone back to the screaming girl.
What's that?
If there's someone stands up and them complaining about it.
If somebody's, listen, if a person is unreasonable and he's moicha, I'm just trying to, listen, obviously like kol yesh gevul, you got to be careful with this concept and not overdo this concept. But the poskim write that if you have a situation where it's not a common situation, but once in a while it happens that a person makes a party, and this is in a situation where it's accepted that people in the community here and there do make a simcha in their house, so then it's a little hard to say that this person is Oivan Gezel Shina. Obviously, if it goes very, very late at night, it shouldn't be okay. But to a certain extent, you could see a place, a space to be matter this. Now, let's go a step further. The Chazanish was asked a very interesting question. There was a certain person who had a very large family, and his children would constantly make noise. Right? So what happened? So the people below took the people to the Chazanish, and they said, what are we going to do over here? The guy's children are jumping and screaming, and we can't exist below him. So what would you say in that case? So what does he have to do? So the Chazanish says, hey, you have no case. Why do you have no case? Because what do you expect him to do? You expect him to leave his house. A person is allowed to live in his house and have the tashmish haragil for a house. It just so happens to be that he has a very, very large family, and that's what the situation is. Now, let's go move on to a different angle. There's no question about it that when it comes to an item which is a dova shel mitzvah, or especially Talmid Torah, that there is a greater makom to be lenient. Let me explain to you where I'm coming from. In the Gemara, Lo Yachpor, right? Lo Yachpor, that's the second parak in Bava Basra. The whole discussion in the second parak of Bava Basra is that there are many Isurim of Niske Shechenim. Right, this Shechena means that you right. All those sugyas there, you have to be marchik that through you damage shouldn't happen to your next door neighbor. The Gemara has a tremendous discussion. What's with noise? Right, noise pollution. The case the Gemara gives is the rechaim. Right, the Gemara speaks about noise. The Gemara speaks about odor. The Gemara speaks about the trees that are made from chardel that the next door neighbors. Bees are dying, right? The Gemara speaks about all of those cases. So the Gemara says that what happens when you discuss noise? So the Gemara tells us that when you have a rechayim, if a person is oseh betoch shelo, right? He's allowed to do it, there's nothing wrong. Okay, that's specifically for business, for other issues, not. Regular noise a person is not allowed to make, right? Then the Gemara says as follows. The noise that you make in your house is okay. The noise that you make out of your house, which means because people like keep on coming into your house, that's not okay. But then the Gemara tells us that there's one exception to these rules. And there's one case that you're not governed by these rules. And what's that? When you make a yeshiva. Right? You can go and you can make a yeshiva even in middle of a local community. Why? Because the Gemara tells us that there was a Amora whose name was Rabbi Shua ben Gamda. And Rabbi Shua ben Gamda made a takana. What was his takana? That when it comes to Torah, Torah is protected. Why? Because he saw that people were forgetting the Torah and he had to go and protect the Torah. That's what the Gemara tells us. So now, let's revisit that case that we discussed. I just wanted to point out, it's not so simple. When a person is learning late at night, and he needs to learn on a kol, it could be, I'm not saying clearly. What's that?
Late at night, when?
Every time.
Listen, you see, clearly the Gemara tells us that in your own property, you're protected. And even when you're not protected, when it comes to Torah, you are protected. Now, I'm not saying that that's, listen, obviously the Torah is the Rechei Darkei Noyim. And the Chedak Anoyim was not the way to do things. And you shouldn't, if you're waking another person up, it's not the right way to do things. But I'm just trying to point out, let's say you have a whole yeshiva, and you have many people that are going to come at 5 o'clock in the morning to learn. So next the neighbor's going to say, think about it, they come with a din Torah, and they say, no, you got to close down the yeshiva because we can't sleep at night. So they clearly are going to be protected by under Rabbi Shua ben Gamda. Now obviously you're going to do whatever possible in order not to hurt another person. And obviously if something goes, you know, out of the common gevul, so then I agree with you, but I'm just pointing out, by Torah you can be more lenient. Kuf Nun Vav Siv Gimel, the Mechaba, look it up, and the Ramah and Siv Hey, and the Ramah adds on another point that he had in the Chol Mili the Mitzvah, that any Mitzvah. So let's say, you know, you see, it's interesting because a lot of these cases are not discussed by the American and the Rabbanim that are in America, in Europe, and wherever the case may be.
To your own family?
What's that?
You're living in your house.
Yeah.
And you wake up in the middle of the night.
Right.
And you want to learn.
Right.
You apply also?
Well, again, I mean,
does it have to be dafka yeshiva?
The Talmud Torah of an individual should be that way. I'm not saying it's a good idea. In your own house, I wouldn't even try it. I wouldn't even try it. But
does it apply? You're rooming with a roommate.
Right. Look, there are many stories of the Chofetz Chaim and of others that write the famous story where in the middle of the night they wouldn't learn because they would go and they would go quietly. I'm not saying it's the right thing to do, but I'm just saying, you know, we're talking here in a business sense. Remember, this shir is, you know, we try to get every case to the bottom line, to the, you know, the Chosh Mishpat, we try to get to the bottom line. I'm really moving slightly off a business cases tonight because we're discussing Oino. In order to get into the business half of Oino, we need to first discuss the concept of Oino. So that's what we did tonight. But I'm just trying to point out that we have to remember that Rabbi Shua ben Gamda made a takana to protect Torah. And I don't want to look over that concept.
Can I tell the guy that my roommate, go up to this measure shalom, don't do it in your room?
Sure, I mean, in a private room, why, if it makes no difference to him, why should he learn privately? Of course, 100%. But I'm saying the case, when you want to, you have 50 guys that want to come at Thursday night and learn until 12 o'clock. So the neighbors here next door are going to say, no, we don't want you to learn Thursday night till 12 o'clock because it's making too much noise. They have no right to stop you.
Can they say go to a different shul?
No, it's our shul. This is where we learn. This is a makom Torah and Kedusha. Yes. And this is where we're going to remain. And you have that right. It's very important to realize what that right is. Now, let me tell you one possible exception to that rule. It's important to hear now another exception to that rule. The Ramah brings down the Enkuf Nun Vav by the case of the, by all of those cases, that let's say the neighbor is a chole, there's somebody that's sick, elderly, infirm, right? So then it could be that even in the cases where you are protected, you have to be more machmir. That's what the Rambam brings down in Kuf Nun Vav. And the Nesivos on the spot points out that it doesn't matter who came first, which means if you moved in after he was a chole, or the chole moved in after you moved in. So one of the cases which might not be protected under this law is a case when the next door neighbor is sick. That's not a simple, right? I'll just add another case, which is fascinating. You don't see this discussed in any of the American, I can't say in any, but just about none of the American tshuvot, you don't see this discussed. But in as you throw the tshuvot, you see loads and loads of tshuvot on these questions. You have a situation where the remote tells us that when you're supposed to build your sukkah, right? Matzim kippah, right? So matzim kippah, by the time you finish Kiddush Levana and everything else, what happens? It's already, and you eat something, and you told everyone to tell them what a wonderful Yom Kippur it was. It's already 1 o'clock in the morning. So at 1 o'clock in the morning, you go to build your sukkah. You hear it, no? Somebody's banging the sukkah. No. Look, within reason, I'll say, within reason, you can go and say that he's protected under the Ramah that is a mili de mitzvah. But obviously, like I said, like kol yesh gevul. And it's just important, which we're not going to discuss now. I mean, another question which comes in, which is very common, but maybe we'll the next two questions, it's too late tonight to discuss it, we'll discuss the question of opening windows, right? What happens? You're in the shul, and five people are too cold, and five people are too hot, and five people are medium, right? It becomes an argument in the winter, summer, air conditioning, heating, right?
But it only happens here.
It happens everywhere. Huh? Happens everywhere, which is a very important area of halacha to discuss, and it's all included. This all goes under the heading of Einoas Dvarim. That's where you're going to find the answer to these questions. The other question, which is an extremely important question, which I probably will dedicate a full shiur to this question, cutting lines, right? Cutting lines. You see a friend that's in the bagel shop, right? And he's the third person, and you're in the pizza shop, and you're the tenth person. So you go over to your friend to fill your order, right? You're in the doctor's office, you know, the secretary, you ask him to push you in first, right? All these questions, which is very, very important. But I'll just conclude this share by saying that the Peleoyetz brings down that any person that's over on the concepts that we just discussed is not only in Erech Ono, he writes this, it's not only over on Ona'a, it's also over on Daloch Sani L'chavach Le'savid, you're also over on V'havta Re'acha Kamoicha, and the Sefer HaChinuch points out one more point, that if you're aware in any of these, he says as follows, he says, to really truthfully list all the cases is impossible. It's really important just to get the concept, is I know it's Momen, I know it's Dvorim, I know when you're a Mitzar person like the Rambam said, and realize that you can't do any of these situations. And that's chus, which the Taka have all the brachas, which the Gemara says on a person that Taka is, I know, Zoyed, but I know.
Ich habe eine Nachricht von mir. Das ist ein Kapitel, 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 das ist ein Kapit